Nyamagachute yalengetini yafayavuga ngosuku lwesithathu. Sikhonze ngonyamagachute yalengetini yafayavuga ngosuku lwesithathu. UJesu vukile uyaphila.
Welcome to the Training in Economic Discipleship based around 10 Biblical Principles of Kingdom Economics. This will be delivered with 30 podcasts or MP3s, beginning with a one-day or two-day consultation and finishing with a reporting back one day where you bring back your stories based on your evaluation. Session 7 is about the Jubilee and the Sabbath. And this comes from Leviticus chapter 23 and Leviticus 25. In Leviticus 23, it says there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You're not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord. With 10 principles of economic discipleship, and one of those principles is work and rest. And in the last podcast, we looked at work in the book of Genesis, and now we turn to Leviticus to further develop the idea of the Sabbath, which was significant in Genesis chapter 1, but here it's expanded into a social structure for the land of Israel. We were thinking in the last session that work without rest is one of the major sins that God warned about. The Sabbath was instituted not only as a symbol of the covenant between God and his people, but it was also a time to reflect and rest, and to assemble. The Sabbath was established by God as a day of rest. Rest is a time of reflection on the week. It's out of this reflection that worship is naturally brought out and later established in the New Testament. Rest must include worship because we need not only to rest our physical body, but our soul. And more than that, the scriptures teach that the soil needs to be rested and the whole of society needs to rest. So the Sabbath is a place of recreation of the soil, of the soul, of the society. God's rest was a reflection on his work and reflecting that it was good. Our rest is a reflection on God's provision and his work as it is combined with our work and our obedience. It results in worshiping God because it's all good. So his overall plan is that there is an established pattern, a rhythm between work and rest throughout our lives. Neither are complete by themselves. There's good in rest and refreshment and in production and work. The two are the natural fruit of obedience to and worship of God. When I sit at home on the Sunday in my rocking chair and close my eyes, I listen to my kids, "Dad, I need some money for this. Dad, can you help me with this?" And I just keep my eyes closed, pretending I am asleep. And my wife calls out, "I need you to go and get some milk for the dinner." And I keep my eyes closed, sound asleep. And nothing depends on me. During the week, everything depends on me. By Friday, I've become a big man. Very important. Everybody's asking for decisions on this and that. I'm so proud of all that I've done. But on the Sabbath, in resting, I begin to shrink back to my real size and realize that it's all his work, his doing, and I'm just a small piece in all of his handiwork. And life doesn't depend on me, it depends on him. And so rest is a key to a lifestyle of humility, as well as to a lifestyle of creativity. For as I'm resting, doing nothing, achieving nothing, into my mind crowd new ideas, new thoughts. And those who rest are those who are creative. If you work and work and work, you lose your creativity. So perhaps that's why God also rested, so that he had more ideas for the next 7 days. It only tells us of those first 7 days. But what is he doing now? Now we would come to this passage in Leviticus 25, and it's a long passage, so I'd suggest you take a break and get your Bible and read through Leviticus 25. The first passage is verse 1 to 7, which is on the Sabbath, and then verses 8 right through to the end of the chapter, which is 54 verses, is really about the Jubilee year. Now, if you've taken the time to read this passage, you'll have picked up a number of principles in terms of the Sabbath and the Jubilee. We cannot just take exactly what happens in an ancient context, in a tribal people, in the Middle East, and apply it and say we do exactly the same in our day. It may fit, but often it won't. What we have to do is look at the principles and then see how do these principles apply in the megacity and the slums of today, where there is music everywhere, where everyone has a television or a cell phone, where there is technology and there are cars. How do we apply the same principles today as back then? In fact, these principles are ancient. They're much before Moses' time. I was with a brother in Kenya some years ago at a conference. I was speaking on land rights, and I noticed this elderly English gentleman. So I went to talk with him and discovered he'd been a leader in the Kenyan church. He'd lived there for 40 years and earned the right to respect. And he told me how one time he was up on the border with Ethiopia and discovered a tribe that had celebrated the Jubilee for well over 4,000 years from before the time of Moses. And to this day, this tribe still celebrates the Jubilee. Very interesting how God could take an ancient tribal custom and apply it. Moses then applied it to his people as they came into the promised land. And then we have to look at, okay, what are the principles here and how do we apply it to our context? So you have much teaching on the Sabbath, but let me focus on the Jubilee, which extends the Sabbath principles. But I think we can start with the key principle of the Sabbath, which is there in Leviticus 25, verse 3. For 6 years, sow your fields. For 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. So it's hard work for 6 years. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a Sabbath of rest. It's to replenish itself. You're not to exhaust the land, and that happens in modern economies where farmers farm year-round and do not replenish the soil. And here's the principle, number 5, do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Okay, so you're not to go about harvesting, just let them be. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself, your manservant, your maidservant, the hired worker, the temporary resident who lives among you. as well as for your livestock and the wild animals, whatever the land produces may be eaten. So let it grow and eat what you need. But don't go about creating new ventures and new production. Then we come to the Jubilee year, and it says count off 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7 years. So that the 7 Sabbaths of years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each one of you is to return to his family property, and each to his own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself, or harvest the untended vines, for it is a jubilee, and it is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. In the year of Jubilee, everyone is to return to his own property. We'll come more to that. So it's a year of blowing the trumpet, of declaring, of announcing. Does that sound a little bit like Jesus? And it's announcing liberty across the land. Liberty. It's a year where slaves are to be set free, and where people who've lost their land, perhaps sold it because they've struggled, they're to go back to their land, and each clan, each family, goes back to its own land and reclaims it. And so society is equalized, so it's a year of redistribution and a year of equality across Israel. So it's 49 years where there's been differentiation, where some have got richer and some have got poorer. Some have been successful, some have failed. Some have had great luck and others great calamity. But now every 50 years society is equalized again in terms of their basic resources. Now, it won't be fully equal. Some will have kept some cash and made a fortune, and so they start with more. But at least it's moving towards equality across the land, and particularly equality of the resources for production. And so the land, instead of continually increasing in value towards that 50 years, it begins to decrease in its value because the land is worth the production of the land each year. So if you've got 13 years to go, you've got 13 years of productivity, it's worth quite a bit. If you've got 6, it's perhaps worth half of that to buy and sell the land. So instead of land prices escalating as they do in capitalist societies, in the cities, till eventually poor people cannot afford to live in the cities, instead of this, the land decreases in value so all can afford to have their own home. And so we see a principle here of equality and a principle of redistribution, and a principle of periodic land reform, and a principle of economic freedom that results in celebration. And these are all principles that come across into Jesus' teaching when it says that he came to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. And many recognize that what he was speaking of was back here in the Jubilee year, and not just a Jubilee for 1 year, but forever. Now, there's some interesting elements to this. If you go down into the text here, you'll discover that talks of urban lands as being different to rural lands. The value of land in the rural area in the provinces is the value of the fruit of the land, the crops that the land produces. But in a city, crops aren't produced on the land. Rather, the land is a place for business. And the advantage of certain places in the city for business means that that land is worth more. And so this Jubilee is not applied to urban land in that sense. But it's interesting, in our current context, when squatters, slum dwellers, people that live in the shanty towns and bidonville are excluded from ownership of land, then I think the principle in here of redistribution of land to the poor does apply. Because without ownership of land, how do you access the city? How do you build capital without ownership of land? So we can take this principle into the city today, whereas we could not perhaps 100, 200, 300 years ago. Home ownership is foundational to building capital for investment in small business. And a constant increase in speculation of land prices in cities violates the core concept of the Jubilee. There's a need for redistribution and a need for ownership of land as the basis of production in the city. It's the foundation of capitalism. So assisting people to own the land is an important aspect of Christian ministry. You've got another principle in here, which is the sense of generations, that poverty can be passed on from generation to generation just as riches can. So the kings and the nobles and the lords pass on their riches, but the poor continue to be poor. This redistribution breaks down those distinctions, breaks down the barriers between the classes. So here we have an introduction to the Jubilee year and its relationship to land. And we also have an introduction to freedom from slavery, because the slaves were to be set free. And we have an introduction to the concept of redemption, that after someone sold the land in verse 29, they can redeem it if they go back to the person within a year to buy the land back. If it's not redeemed before a full year has passed, the house in a walled city shall belong permanently to the buyer and his descendants. So again here, if someone gets poor in the city, they have to sell their house. They're given 1 year to buy it back because you don't want to sell your house forever, and maybe you can buy it back. We'll come back to the Jubilee later when we look through the book of Isaiah and the servant songs. We find it referred to there. And then we find it in Jesus' teaching, Jesus' life. Then we find it in the book of Acts, chapter 2. The early church is based around Jubilee economics. And we look further into the book of Corinthians and Paul's teaching about redistribution between the churches. So we find that this Jubilee year is a theme that holds the scriptures together. So study it in detail and talk about it with your people and discuss what are the implications for your community, your slum.